Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. So we often hear the question, and perhaps we ask it or have asked it ourselves, is whether or not God is actually guilty for all the evil things that happen upon the earth. Let's talk about it, friends. I'll tell you what, let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Genesis is the book of origins, but you know what? Let's first go even further back than that. Let's go into eternity past in eternal glory, where Lucifer was the anointed cherub, Ezekiel chapter 28, with tabrets or instruments built within him. We surmise that that was to lead the praise of the Almighty God, the anointed cherub himself. But what happened? Well, iniquity was found in his heart, correct? Yes, correct. And he was booted from heaven. Jesus spoke of that. Luke chapter 10 verse 18, when he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He was thrusted out of eternal glory irrevocably with the Almighty because of his iniquity, Ezekiel 28, beginning in about verse 12. So whose fault was that? That was Lucifer's fault. Whose fault was it that bliss, the perfection of the Garden of Eden was ruined? Was it God's fault or was it man's fault? The answer is more than obvious. Remember, and I want you to memorize James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. This tells us a lot of things that we need to know about God, friends. And in order to help others to be recovered out of the snare of the devil, okay? Recovered out of the snare of the devil, which 2 Timothy chapter 2 speaks about, beginning in verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 24, and the servant of the Lord, that's us, friends, as we minister, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt, A-P-T, or means capable to teach, patient, in meekness, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, or perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Wow, that brings in a lot. I want to encourage you to get pour over these last three verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. There's a lot in there. We're going to refer back there in a minute. The passage I was actually going to is James 1, beginning in verse 13, notice James writes this: let no man, and again, remember the question is it God's fault for the calamities and the things that are happening on the earth or that happen in our lives? Let no man say, James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, just as obviously Lucifer was in eternal glory of in the past. Okay, just like Adam and Eve were. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, it's his own fault. It's our own fault. Then, and here's what happens. Then when we allow ourselves to be tempted and drawn in by our own lust, notice how that lust has to be resident in your heart. That's what we call an uncrucified heart. When you're crucified with Christ, you're dead to self, and you won't be lusting in order to be enticed and tempted. Okay, then when lust hath conceived, let me say this. Being tempted is not a sin. Okay, allowing lust in our hearts in order to be enticed in that temptation out of our place with God into the devil's trap, that's what we see happening here in James chapter 1, verse 13 through 17. Okay, so verse 15, then when lust has conceived, okay, it takes two to cause there to be a conception, right? Yeah, that's what it takes right here. It takes, first of all, the temptation and then the lust that's in our hearts in order to be enticed and brought into the sin that we're being tempted to commit. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God is unchanging and immutable. He's eternal, divine perfection, and he never changes. And every good gift, every perfect gift comes from him. Okay? Only the good and perfect gifts come from God. And that's what Adam and Eve were experiencing until they allowed themselves, obviously, with the ability to choose, as we all have, not only in, we all have throughout our whole existence on this earth. Okay, apparently the angels of God, one third of which departed from him, as we talked about earlier, out of Ezekiel 28, also Revelation 12, etc., they chose to be tempted and to sin against God. Okay, so they had free will, and we have free will. Adam and Eve had free will. Okay, and they chose to be allow themselves to lust after that which God forbids. But before that, every good gift and every perfect gift came from God, and everything was pristine in that garden of creation, the Garden of Eden, where there was no sin. But and the wages of sin is death. So when they committed sin, they allowed themselves to be enticed and seduced to sin against God and do exactly opposite of what he said, then came the calamity. Notice Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. I want you to also memorize this verse. Notice the foolishness of man. That's us. That's our foolishness. Mark 7, Jesus named foolishness as one of the sins that is committed by those who are outside of Christ, who are not presently born again and presently abiding in Christ. Notice, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. And yet, I'm adding the word yet, but and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Notice, we fret against the Lord when we ourselves are guilty of committing sin. We pervert our own way, and then we turn on God and blame him. I say we because we have all done this. Okay, we all know this scenario. And we also see people around us. Today I noticed a guy that used to serve God is now turning against him, claiming there is no hell and stuff like that. And well, how do we know what's going on? Well, the Bible tells us what's going on. First of all, our own experience tells us what's going on. He has sin in his life. And now he's turning and blaming God. Okay? So after committing sin, Adam blamed God for the woman that God gave him. He blame shifted, if you will. wicked man sins against God and reaps what he sows. Then he gets mad and turns around and blames God for the calamity that he brought upon himself. Right? Yeah, right. Okay? And remember, now, we're talking about this, and it's important that we understand it. We've got to be there. First of all, we've got to get ourselves out of the snare of the devil by clean, pure, absolute, authentic repentance, turning to the Lord with all of our hearts. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you, beloved. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Let me read it again out of the last part of 2 Timothy 2. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt or capable to teach, patient, instructing those that oppose themselves. Notice how the devil can get you turned around. You're opposing yourself. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance, that's a gift. It tells us right there that repentance is a gift of God. And we know also that the Lord looks on the heart. Okay, and that there's conditions there for him giving you this gift. 1 Samuel 16:7. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that would include admitting, hey, man, I'm the one that did this to myself, okay? I have no one else to blame but myself. Psalm 51, David's psalm of repentance. He wasn't initially coming clean, so God sent Nathan into his life. Blessed brother Nathan to correct him, 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And David came clean, and we have his psalm of repentance on record. What a gift of God that is, Psalm 51. And he came clean. So we got to come clean. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth and confess all of our sins specifically before the Lord, cover nothing. Be able to say before God and man that I have nothing to hide. If I'm wrong about something, then I will be corrected. I will come correct. Amen. I will repent. Let the righteous smite me, David wrote, Psalm 141, I believe it's verse 5. It shall be an excellent oil. It'll be a blessing. It won't kill me. It'll purge me and help me to get the sin out of the way so that I can commune with my God who is holy, holy, holy. Amen. All right, verse 26, 2 Timothy 2:26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And the way the devil snares us is through our wicked, uncircumcised, uncrucified hearts, where we entertain temptation. We allow ourselves to be seduced or enticed, and then we succumb to the temptation, and then comes death or separation from God. I want you to understand that death, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Death meaning separation, okay? And he says it right here again in James 1:15. Then when lust has conceived, notice there's a conception that goes on. It brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Again, death means separation. God told Adam and Eve, thou shalt surely, notice, die. That's the same as death, just a different form of the word. In other words, you're going to be separated from me if you sin against me. Listen, let's stop for a minute here, friends. This isn't about you or me. This is about God. Okay? And God told us that he's holy, holy, holy. And he will not fellowship with anyone who will not allow him to make them holy. And that requires that you submit to him. It really does take two to tango or have a relationship, okay? Psalm 5:4, for thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Could it be any plainer than that? Neither shall evil dwell with thee. Is God going to allow evil, any kind of unrepentant of sin, to dwell with him? No, you're not going to have a relationship with God while simultaneously living in sin, my friend. Okay, so also notice on that note, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, I want you to become familiar with these verses, write them down, put them on index cards, and have a working understanding and knowledge of them. Perhaps begin to memorize them and where they are in the Bible so that you can navigate the Bible, not only for your own self, but to help others. Amen. That's what you're here for. You're not here to serve self. You're here to serve Jesus and others. Amen. Okay, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he? So Habakkuk is sorting things out, but he makes a statement of God: thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. He prefaces his complaint with his knowledge that God cannot behold evil. Okay? He cannot look on iniquity. Why? Because he's holy, holy, holy. Isaiah 6:3, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. That's a truth and an attribute you almost never, never hear spoke of in the modern apostate church world. The wages of sin is death, beloved. Romans 6:23. It's still death. It always has been and always will. Lucifer found that out when he was booted from heaven, ejected violently by the God of heaven, the Lord Almighty, after he allowed iniquity to be retained in his heart. Okay, obviously there was iniquity in Adam and Eve's heart. We know that by the scriptures. They had lust in their hearts. Therefore, when they were tempted, they allow themselves to be enticed and drawn into and commit that sin. And those are the three big words of James chapter 1, particularly in verse 14, as we read earlier. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. How do we get drawn away? By God's lust? No, God has no lust. He has a will, and he gave you the command of his will and the grace to overcome. Did Adam and Eve have the ability to overcome this and to shun this sin? Yeah. But apparently, Adam had lust in his heart, Adam and Eve, and they allowed themselves to be tempted. Well, everybody's going to be tempted. That's not a sin. They allowed themselves to be enticed. So three big words I just underlined here: tempted, lust, and enticed. Okay? We have our part in this matter, and we can't turn around and blame God when he loves us and gave us Christ and all the grace of heaven, the divine enablement to overcome, but we chose to do things our way. And yet God is so good, he invites us to come boldly before his throne of grace, those that have been born again, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Why do you need grace? Because it's divine enablement to live as God called you to live in a separated, a holy fashion before him. Why do you need mercy? Well, you stumbled and fell and you sinned. The good news is that we got 1 John 1:9. There's people in hell right now that were once saved when they walked on the earth, but they refused to wear out a path, if you will, figuratively speaking, to the throne of God's grace, to obtain mercy and continue to fight the good fight of faith. They gave up. They didn't continue to seek and love the Lord and worship him, and therefore they fell away, and then they blamed God. These people blame God. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth for all eternity. It's going on right now in hell. That deals with remorse, and I'm sure a blaming of the Almighty. It's not his fault, folks. It's our fault. Okay? 100%. So it's best, and it will be eternally a blessing, if we get honest before the Lord and just confess our sins and everything that happened evil, that we, you know, we brought it upon ourselves. Now, there are other things that happen evil in this world, where other people's sin affects us. But I'm talking about us. And for the most part, the evil that we bring upon ourselves, many times we turn around and blame God when it was all our fault. And we just read that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. It was Satan tempting the man and the woman in the garden. It's sin and Satan that tempts us. Do we remember the song, "Oh, peace we often forfeit"? How's that go? "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a peace we often forfeit because we don't bring it to God in prayer," right? Amen. I can't exactly remember those lyrics, but you remember them probably better than me, and you get the point. Amen. God told us what to do. He calls us to worship him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sometimes we commit the sin of omission, if you will, an omitted a sin, a prayerless life. And Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And if you're not praying, you're falling. You're living in sin. You can't overcome the flesh, the world, and the devil outside of the power of God working in you, like the wise virgin believers who stay upon the Lord. They seek his face. He's absolutely, literally first in their lives. They get up every morning seeking his holy face as he directed us and instructed us to do, gathering with him in that private place, okay, where he's going to reward you openly with the grace and the power to live in the spirit, overcoming sin, Satan, and, you know, the flesh, everything that ails you, the temptations of this life. It's only through the power of God and the power of God dwelling in you specifically. Amen. The Holy Scriptures are loaded with passages that reveal the rebellion of even God's people, or those who were once in God's grace yet departed from the faith. Okay, you cannot depart from something you don't already have. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. We see this truth throughout the Holy Scriptures. So we're unnecessarily afflicted, and it's all our fault. No one else's. And yet we turn around and blame the good Lord Almighty, just like we read there in perhaps our foundational verse for this whole message, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3. "And oh, the blessings we forfeit and the things we suffer for not simply seeking and obeying the Lord." Amen. All right. So notice Psalm 107:17. "Fools," notice "fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted." Wow. That's a memory verse. That's a memory truth for life. Amen. "Because of fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted." There it is. We bring affliction on ourselves because of our own transgressions and our own iniquities. Psalm 107:17. It's not God's fault, beloved. Also, Jeremiah 5:25, "Your sins have withholden good things from you." Your sins have withholden, your iniquities have turned away these things, these good things he's talking about. "And your sins have withholden good things from you." Why? Because they didn't seek the face of the Lord and stay upon the Almighty, seeking his face, walking in his love, walking in the power of his divine enablement, his divine influence upon our hearts, which is defined as the grace of God. Okay? All right, so we bring these things on ourselves. Of this verse, again, our main verse, Proverbs 19, verse 3, "The foolishest of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." He goes ahead and blames God. Again, John Wesley, he ascribes his unhappiness not to his own sin, but to God and his providence. John Wesley. That's a great one-sentence summation of what we read of this truth all over the Bible, including, and we're kind of founding it in and anchoring it in the words of Proverbs 19, verse 3. This verse just nails it, that we pervert our own way, we live in sin, we allow things in our lives, and we're not seeking God, that omission sins, and then we turn around and blame God. Okay, and as John Wesley says, for our own unhappiness we blame him, and for his providence. In other words, our hearts are darkened when we live in sin, and we just have this, we have this evil, perverted, dark view of God because of our own darkened hearts. Because we love sin, or we love darkness rather than light. That's why it requires not only initial but ongoing repentance before the Lord, as we abide in Christ and endure to the end in faith, worship, and love with Christ, amen, and obedience to him. Okay, God's will is good for us. He tells us that throughout his word. But yet, as John Wesley puts out here, we many times will blame God that he's just, you know, ordained me to live in all of this evil. No, he ordains you to walk uprightly. But because of your own way, your own refusal to seek his face, okay, your heart has been darkened, as scripture speaks of. Romans 1, etc. Notice Ecclesiastes 7:29 says this, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright." Amen. Adam and Eve were holy in the Garden of Eden. There was no sin, guys, remember? No sin. God said it was very good, and it was good over and over. God didn't create any sin in the Garden of Eden. He allowed them to be tempted. Okay, when there's love, it's got to be proven. If a man's engaged to a woman, she's going to prove whether or not she wants to be married to him for the rest of her life. By whether she entertains the charms and the seductions of other men to entice her away from him. Okay, by, you know, that's just how it works, guys. There has to be the ability to choose. That's how God set up his creation. Adam and Eve chose to sin. Okay, God made everything right. He made man upright. It tells us right here, Ecclesiastes 7:29. But they have sought out many inventions. In other words, man has sinned against me. I made them upright, but they sought out many inventions or ways to sin against them. If you read that language throughout the writings of Solomon, that's exactly what he's referring to here. God made, quote, God made man upright. God didn't make man sinful or to sin. Man chose to sin, and that's what we've all chosen to do. We have to get honest with it. Proverbs 28:13, more of the Holy Spirit through Solomon. Here it is. This is definitely a memory verse. Okay, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Hallelujah. How many people are so glad that God is a merciful God to those that fear him? His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great, not small, but great is his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Okay, so continuing on with our main verse, Proverbs 19:3, where it says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." Let's see. William MacDonald wrote the commentary of the Believer's Bible commentary of this verse. He says this, "When men make a mess of their lives, they turn around and blame the Lord. Thus, Adam tried to put the blame on God with the words, quote, the woman whom you gave to me," Genesis 3:12, he blamed God. You gave me that woman. You know, she entertained Satan's temptation, and then they both entered into it. So Adam turns around, again, blame-shifting. Instead of taking personal responsibility, blames the Lord for giving him this woman. Wow, interesting. And it's a oh me for all of us, because we've all done this stuff, okay? Notice William McDonald continues. He says, "More than we know, apostasy has its seed in moral failure." In other words, sin. In our hearts, a lust, unrepentant, uncircumcised hearts that have not put the axe to the root of all of these evil root sins. And that requires, for me, I can tell you, and obviously for all of us, fasting and praying to be broken, to be crucified, to be flattened out and made dead, so that Christ is raising us up and his attributes and blessedness is filling our hearts. Okay, the commentary continues. "A man engages in some form of immorality. Then instead of confessing and forsaking the sin, he turns away from the Christian faith and rages against the Lord." Interesting. Then he continues with a quote from somebody else. "It is monstrous to charge the providence of God with the consequences of actions that he has forbidden," unquote. And I might add that we chose to commit. Boy, I tell you what, we're hypocrites, aren't we? All of us, if we've ever done that. And thank God we can be redeemed out of that and have a heart that's transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we immediately take personal responsibility and cry out to God like David did. Psalm 51. I'm trying to help you to remember that psalm and to go in there and read his psalm of repentance. It's full of biblical truth concerning everything we're talking about right here. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Search me, O God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Psalm 139, 23 and 24, etc. All right, David prayed Psalm 51, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." As he was honestly crying out to God in repentance and coming clean with absolute confession, specifically of all his sin that he had committed. Hallelujah. Okay, Adam Clark, about this truth, as we have kind of focused on, grounded ourselves in Proverbs 19:3. Adam Clark says, "Because they get into straits and difficulties through the perverseness of their own ways, and thus they fret against God, whereas in every instance they are the causes of their own calamities." Amen. We are the causes of our own calamities. In fact, Job 19:28 says that we ought to say that the root of the matter is in me. It's my fault. It's not somebody else's fault. It's my fault. Okay? And we need to first tell that to God and be humble and teachable before men in that order. Notice Jesus said it's an absolute essential that we must be converted. That means born again. And become as little children, or we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18:3-4, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children." What does that mean? Innocent, humble, teachable, pliable, lacking pride, not hardened in heart, etc. Okay, "except you be converted and become as little children, you shall," you know, a little child at a very young age is just so precious with those big, beautiful, innocent eyes. Don't you know the Lord wants to restore that innocence? He does in each and every one of us, so that we can be like Christ, move with compassion on those we see in need and doing the same things we've done. Amen. Again, 2 Timothy 2. Those people are taken, we've been there too, right? Taken captive by Satan at his will. Okay, they've they've got turned around on their own selves. 2 Timothy 2:24-26. The servant of the Lord must not strive. This is why this is so important that we talk about these scriptures, these truths that we see happening. We've seen them happen in our lives. God has recovered us, and we got to be there to help others as Jesus, end of Matthew 9, where he was moved with compassion upon the people so that we have the love of Jesus. You know, we see so much wickedness going on in the world everywhere you look, but we got to be so full of Christ more than ever now and not focused on the wickedness of man, but to have our hearts purified, full of the love and compassion of Christ, the wisdom and the Word of God, and be able to look at these people like they just need Jesus. And that's what Jesus, it says Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw all of these sheep without a shepherd. And that's what we see. That's why people are doing evil. That's why they vote for baby murdering communist demon rats and all of this other wickedness, burn down cities and stuff. I know that gets me mad too, but my focus, my nose needs to be in the Word of God. Amen. Much more than in that stuff. How can I help them? How can I bring the light to the darkness if I'm communing with the darkness so much? Okay, so the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt or capable to teach. In meekness, God, make our hearts meek, O God, in Jesus' name. Pliable, give us hearts of flesh. Take away the stony places, O God, that have been caused from our own sin. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Amen. What a blessing. And all of these scriptures tie together as the wisdom of God would have it. Amen. So the root of the matter is in me. The sins that should concern me the most is not somebody else's. It's not all of the people out there in the world doing evil. Listen, sinners are going to sin. That's all sinners can do is sin. Amen? And the righteous will live righteously. Okay, the root of the matter is in me. God forbid that I'm a hypocrite and focused on anybody else's sins. The sins that should concern me the most are my own. Jesus would call us a hypocrite if we're judging others while we have sin in our own lives. Matthew 7:1-7. So what happens when we sin against God is it's our own fault, nobody else's. We have nobody to blame
but ourselves.
But then we turn around, and we blame the darkness that now possesses our hearts on God. The scripture speaks of men loving darkness, Jesus said, rather than light, because their own deeds are evil. See, there it is again. This is all over the Bible, is it not? Our own deeds are evil. That's why this darkness comes upon us. It completely perverts our view of the Almighty. This is John 3:19-21, extremely important passage. And this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light. Apparently that applies to Adam and Eve too, at the inception, at the fall, because their deeds were evil. Their own deeds, probably referring to their hearts. As we read earlier in James 1, the lust of their own hearts. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, which neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or brought into the light and corrected. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Amen. If you come into the light, it's from outer darkness. We were born in sin. We've all committed sin. And even after being saved, we've stumbled in darkness and sin. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You got to get up and come to the light, beloved. You can't just stay there in the darkness. You better fight that good fight of faith. You know, people come to me and they're struggling with something, brothers in Christ. And man, I tell you what, sometimes I compliment them. First thing I want to point out is that this is really convicting you. Okay? No man is doing that. God's doing that. And you're listening. And that's why you and I are sitting down, going to pray about this and talk about it. And God's going to give you the full victory. Amen. But the thing is, I like the way, brother, you're fighting the good fight of faith. See, if you weren't, you wouldn't bother to come seek out a brother to pray with you and get this thing into the light and put it under the blood. Amen. Keep fighting the good fight of faith, beloved saints. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Get your dukes up and keep swinging, or you're going to be losing. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's got an absolute, endless, perpetual onslaught to cause you to be tripped up, to be deceived, to be enticed, to be drawn away from the Lord. And it all starts in the battlefield of your mind and your heart. And you must stay crucified with Christ daily. That's the key to all overcoming, is the cross life, the crucified life. Amen. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Amen. Come on to the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that walketh in darkness, let's see, John chapter 8, verse 12, right? Okay, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. How many people want the light of life? And how do we get that? We walk in the light with Christ, who's in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7. Amen. And what a memory verse that is. If we walk, and this is speaking of the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ. Initial cleansing is required. That's where it all starts. When the Lord saves you. But you got to walk in the light after that, as he is in the light. And you'll have fellowship with him and the Father as you do. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, will cleanse you from all sin. But you got to continue to walk in the light. That means you got to come to the light and continue to come to the light and let your deeds, your darkness, be reproved or brought into the light, repented of, and you march forward in the light of Christ. Amen. We can't get anywhere with God unless we choose to be honest with him in all our dealings, beloved saints. And that's really at the core of fighting the good fight of faith. Remember, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins, strives to hide them, that is, okay, shall not prosper. You're going nowhere with God. You're backsliding. You're a deceiver. You're in darkness. You're willingly deceived if you won't confess your sins honestly before God. Okay, again, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them, shall have mercy. Okay, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Love it. Okay, we have a few different posts and podcasts on the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Hallelujah. And we just read that in John 8:12. Just put in the word light, L-I-G-H-T, into the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com, and you'll find several Christ-centered, scripture-rich resources to encourage you and exhort you and fuel you with the Word of God in this last hour as we look for the soon return of the light of the world himself, Jesus Christ. Amen. John 12:35, Jesus says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. That's speaking also again of needing to be recovered out of the snare of the devil, being taken captive by him. That's very interesting how all of these verses dovetail together. It's absolutely amazing. how God has knit His truth and woven it all the way through His Word. And that's why you've got to study to show yourself approved. Study the whole of the Word of God. I know that there's hardly a church anywhere that's in a church building, so-called, that ever encourages people to get in the Word, much less to read it all the way through thoroughly. And by the way, in the real Bible, the King James Bible, not some cheap substitute. Okay. All right. So walking in the light. We're talking about how man frets against the Lord after he commits sin of his own doing. Isn't that interesting? Notice Psalm 145:9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. So again, is God guilty of the horrible things that happen to us that we bring upon ourselves and the things that happen in the earth? No. The Lord has no evil to give. The Lord is good to all. Okay, so as we close, let me finish with this thought here. Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of who? The wicked. Why are they wicked? They chose to be wicked. The curse of the Lord is upon everyone who is not walking with Christ in the light of his truth, in the light of truth, in obedience to it. The curse of the Lord is upon you. It's in your house. It's everywhere you go. You cannot escape it unless you repent. Neither can those who are walking with Jesus escape the blessings of God upon their lives. Amen. Notice Proverbs 3:23. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. That merely means it's everywhere. He has no rest, no peace, not even in his own home, a place of solitude and refuge, in his own sovereign dwelling place. He has no peace. Why? He's cursed to the core. We also read about the curse of the Lord at the root of the wicked in Job chapter 5, verse 3. Okay? All right, so the curse of the Lord. Now, I'm reading Scripture. I'm not cursing anyone. God is pronouncing here. He's declaring that he curses the wicked. You got a problem with that? Take it up with God. He gave this to us. Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Anywhere those that are, justified before God, by God, he's blessing them. They can't escape his blessing. Amen. They follow him all the days of his life. Are you in a place of blessing, friend? If we're out of biblical order, we're out of biblical blessings. Amen. The blessing of God is upon the righteous, and no matter where they are or what they're doing, they are blessed of him. Amen. That's the testimony of the whole of Scripture. And that's why God says, choose you this day whom you will serve, so that he can bless you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and that's going to be verse 19. Let me read that to you. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, he's telling his own people, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Amen. Live. Have life with Christ. God bless you, my friend. Thank you for spending a few moments together here in the Word. May the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, and we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I want to encourage you to avail yourself to all of the Scripture-rich resources on safeguardyoursoul.com. Also to pray for the supply and fruitfulness of the outreach. And also find a friend. If you're a man, find a brother, one or two or three, that you can talk to on the phone on a regular basis, meet with, and have fellowship in the Word with. And let me say this before I close. Thank God for those who are sharing and helping supply the outreach. People are being reached all over the world. Scripture-rich books such as the Authentic, the Born Again book, also the Moments with Our Master book. It's all on the they're all on the store page on safeguardyoursoul.com. Are being dropped into jail cells on a weekly basis. People that are incarcerated, they're a captive audience. We're sending them assertively with great joy. They're not, most of them aren't even expecting them, and they get a package in the mail, and it's a bunch of scriptures in a book that's really nicely decorated and gives them something to nourish their hearts with. They have nowhere to look but up in the jail. Amen. Also, your gifts are enabling the feeding of the poor. Even this morning, was blessed to encounter a man, and he just kept looking at me. I just knew it was God, man. You know how that is. And happens all the time. He's in a wheelchair, homeless, and really good guy. Already a Christian, man. I don't know what he's struggling with or not, but, man, I couldn't believe this guy's 71 years old. Wow, he doesn't even need reading glasses. I gave him a Bible and an authentic book, and I asked him, assuming wrongly, that he needed reading glasses, because I hand those out too. I keep them in my vehicle as a ministry item, get them at Dollar Tree or whatever. And most people, you know, that are over 40 or 45 or something, they need glasses. This guy didn't even need them. Anyway, he got nourished with couple of cups of coffee. I bought him a coffee and a refill. Also, breakfast and the love of Jesus fellowshiped with him. And that's all made possible by you, friends. This is just a little taste. There's so much going on. Feel free to check out the Because You Care page to find out a little bit more on safeguardyoursoul.com. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless you, my friends. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.